Welcome to the Nonprofit Hub Radio Podcast, where we highlight nonprofit innovators, leaders, and influencers every week that are changing the sector for the better. I'm your host, Delaney Mullenix, Executive Director of Nonprofit Hub. If you're not for profit and all for purpose, you're in the right place. You see, we know you're already doing good, but we've designed this podcast to help nonprofit professionals find growth, joy, and connection. So tune in weekly for new episodes to elevate your cause, spread the news, and share the resources we share with you.
Build momentum and be unstoppable at the 2023 CauseCamp Nonprofit Conference. CauseCamp is named one of the top nonprofit conferences of the year. Everyone who attends the conference is there to work with you to solve real issues facing your organization, from trivial to complex. Level up your professional knowledge and the strategies of your organization with insights from the top minds in the sector. Get to know nonprofit peers nationwide at pre- and post-show events, and visit over 35 resource and solution providers in Camper Village. Join us on September 14th and 15th on America's Rock and Roller Coast in Huron, Ohio. For more than 150 years, people have chosen the Lake Erie region as their destination to connect with each other and create new memories. Grab your ticket at www.cause.camp and reignite your purpose at CauseCamp 2023.
We'd like to thank Lasso Digital for sponsoring today's episode of the Nonprofit Hub Radio Podcast. Lasso Digital is your full-service partner in communications and fundraising, helping your nonprofit to raise more funds, share your vision, and achieve your mission. Learn more at lassodigital.co. That's lassodigital.co.
Hello again, Nonprofit Hub. This is Delaney, the Executive Director. I was joined on this podcast episode by Nick Lynch. He created Kaleidoscope.io, which is an all-in-one social media measurement and data analytics platform. He helps nonprofits thrive in the digital space, and he created this company during the pandemic, but he's now become an expert on how nonprofits can continue to thrive on social media post-pandemic. Pay special attention to what he says about in-person events and how you can create moments with those to provide on your digital media platforms. And he also talks a lot about influencer marketing and that there's so much more that goes into that if your organization is considering that form of marketing in the digital space. Stay tuned.
Nick, I'd love to just, you know, for you to tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you're passionate about.
Sure, absolutely. So again, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to have this conversation. Just from a professional standpoint, I've been based here in Los Angeles almost for 17, almost 18 years, primarily focused in advertising technology. So like building solutions for brands and advertisers, mostly to target their audiences on digital and social media. I was an early MySpace guy, to kind of date me. I was in Tom's top eight.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Most people won't know that reference maybe, but so that was literally like one of my first roles in helping build out their ad ecosystem. So I've been in doing this a really long time and been in social media a long time. But from a personal standpoint, I'm a cancer survivor. I'm a Make-A-Wish kid. I've been a part of the Make-A-Wish family ever since they sent me to Disneyland when I was three. I've been really, really involved in the LA chapter here for the better part of 8 years. And so, you know, founding Kaleidoscope was literally, it's like my personal and my professional worlds colliding to really help leverage all of my expertise and my network and my knowledge to try to help really initially just kind of bridge the gap between nonprofits and corporations and sort of this new digital economy that was really growing in 2020, which is when we founded. But if you fast forward now, literally almost 4 years since we built this company, we really are focused around, you know, really building anytime where there is an intersection between media marketing and measurement and social impact. We've built a really unique perspective, really unique tools, really unique process around scaling all of that and working with nonprofits and corporate partners and particularly influencers to really accelerate as much good as we possibly can do.
Yeah, of course. And this is all a perfect kind of lead into all the questions that I want to ask you today. But I guess to your point about, and I might jump around here a little bit, but sure, about the measuring data piece and how that intersects, how exactly does how exactly do social media data analytics fit into measuring a nonprofit's influence and impact?
Sure. And I love this question because this is really where like I nerd out on all these types of things. But I think the first thing that I usually try to set the expectation is that once you start talking about data and analytics, things can kind of get a little tense, right? Because you're like, well, I'm not a data scientist. I don't have a data person.
And totally. But my question too is getting a like conversion for a donation the only way that the only measurement that's important when it comes to like
for sure
data?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely a great question. And so I typically kind of set the table is that like there is so much data to look at. And if you want to be really comprehensive, you can do that. But at the high level, there's really only a few things that you need to look at. Conversion or a donation is one of them. But what we typically try to build a framework around what's called a double ROI. There's a return on investment. So like very specific and business driven information around, you know, donations and registrations or event ticket sales or newsletter signups, right? Like those are very, very specific types of metrics that you can look at. But we also look at sort of more of a holistic view and sort of the impact of what you're actually doing. And, you know, how many people are actually seeing what you're doing, right? Reach and awareness and impressions. How many people are clicking and coming to your site and actually engaging with who you are on your website? And how many people are liking and sharing or commenting on your social media posts? So there's lots of collective things that we look at to really figure out, are your tactics aligning with impact and outcomes? I think what I've been really encouraged to see, especially over the last 6 months, is there has kind of been, and maybe just because of I'm very siloed in what we do, but there has been a big emphasis on storytelling sort of back into figuring out like how are you actually telling your story and how are you measuring the value of that story, meaning that it's no longer just am I posting about my mission and then getting a donation, but more around am I telling a large encompassing story that's generating more awareness, more interest, more engagement that is ultimately leading to things like donations or newsletter signups, right? So it's everybody's starting to really look at it more holistically and figuring out ways to better activate different parts of the most important, you know, part, which is donations, right?
Right, right. Well, share more about how Kaleidoscope is helping nonprofits do this.
Yeah, absolutely. So we, you know, at the very beginning of all this, we knew that corporate partners were spending billions of dollars anyway in cause marketing and impact marketing, and they would likely spend more directly with missions and causes if there was better reporting on what those dollars did, not only from a impact perspective, but also from a business perspective, right? So if I'm AT&T or T-Mobile, I don't know why I'm thinking of telecom operators, but let's say, you know, wireless operators, right, that are looking to do something philanthropic. If they do a $10,000 or $25,000 sponsorship or donation, not only can you show that maybe those $25,000 generated X amount of reach, awareness, and impressions for the brand, but also for the nonprofit. And then you can start looking at, okay, great. I promoted this collaboration with AT&T. It got 100,000 new impressions and 75,000 people saw it. But then we also saw 10,000 people click. And then we also saw 1,000 people donate, right? So we can see holistically the value of that partnership so that AT&T can go back to their board, their CEO, their CFO and say, hey, wow, we just donated $25,000 to the Nick Lynch organization and it got us all of this and it made all of this impact.
Right.
We need 50,000 next year, right? So that's really where like philosophically we knew we needed to be there so that the people who are writing the checks could be tangible and very specific about the value that their organization is driving. I know it feels good to give 25K, but if an executive can go back to a board or a CFO and say, look at all of the tangible metrics this $25,000, $50,000 donation or sponsorship did, it provides a much better conversation at the corporate level to donate more or continue to donate. And so that's what we built. We built some tools and technology that easily aggregate all of that data, both from a social media perspective, as well as from an impact perspective on donations and registrations, so that holistically there's a report that you can look at and you can also actually derive particular tactics to particular outcomes so that for existing campaigns you can optimize for, or for future campaigns, you can say, wow, we worked with these four partners and we did these three things. only one partner and only one tactic really did well. Let's really amplify and accelerate that for next year. And then maybe let's dial down those other three partnerships and tactics for future campaigns, just because it wasn't necessarily as impactful as we hoped, yeah. Right? So that's what we've built.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think you said it perfectly. So like the social media data might be even easier to get than some of the narrative surrounding that. So like if you're communicating with that person who had invested in sponsorship or had provided a donation to invest in it, they want to know about how that's investing in your cause, not just, right, like how many people saw their brand. And I think if you fail to communicate that to them, you're missing a huge potential of really getting them to be an invested donor and a recurring.
Yeah, 100%. And that was the case sort of before some of the macroeconomic stuff has been shifting over the last 9 months, right? Like that was before. Now, when we talk to corporate partners, they are all about, okay, we know this feels good, but we have to start drawing lines back to our internal ROI so that we can make sure that that can scale for our company, for our employees, and ultimately for the impact. So it's now more important than ever to communicate some particular narrative around the metrics that you're collecting so that it's very tangible around the impact that those dollars are actually driving.
Yes. Yep. I mean, speak more about, if you could, on what's happening. And you said macroeconomics. What shift is happening that's causing these companies to do that?
Sure. So, I mean, I'm sure we've all seen the headlines around Facebook, you know, lays off 10,000 or Salesforce, you know, like there's a lot of what on the surface looks like some economic turmoil or uncertainty. I mean, that's probably a larger macroeconomic debate. I don't necessarily feel that's fully the case. But from a corporate level, they have used potential uncertainty to really refine how they look at internal investments and what those investments are driving for their business. And so I think Facebook is a really good example, because I think one of their largest public investments that they've been making is in the metaverse and VR and like all those cool goggles, which are fun to play with. But from a business standpoint, it hadn't been driving the revenue or the results that they were hoping for. And so what they did is they took that as an opportunity to reshift the entire business around particular initiatives, programs, and products that do have high margins and high value and are able to very clearly measure. And so when I look at that as an operating principle for pretty much every single tech company, but broadly, every company is starting to look like that, at least for now. They're not necessarily reducing investment, but every investment is now being heavily scrutinized around, do these dollars actually drive outcomes? And if they do, what are those outcomes and how can we measure it? Which, when you say that out loud, it's like, well, that seems sort of like, duh, they should have been doing that the whole time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they hadn't. And money was cheap. Rates were low, right? So people were kind of just spending because it wasn't as expensive. Now rates are higher. Cost of money is higher. And so every dollar really needs to be scrutinized in some form or fashion to have some particular metric that drives business results.
Yeah, I agree. And although I respect that this advancement has taken place in the digital media world, where we're able now to evaluate the return on investment of specific things in the digital advertising space, but that also makes it more difficult for nonprofits, because I think, and to your whole point, like this whole shift in the pandemic made everyone kind of forced into this environment, but at first we might not have known what we were doing and know what, like a lot of people didn't, right? There were experts in measuring data in how all of this stuff is working. And so anyone can like put money towards advertising online, right? But not everyone knows how to look at if it's working and how to optimize it. And so it's good that I think we're getting to that spot, but again, there's pros and cons, I think, to that.
Yeah, 100%. And unfortunately, I mean, the nonprofit space is rife with people who are experts and will sell the dream and not contextualize that, you know, expectations properly, and will tell you that they're good at X, Y, and Z, and then they get paid a bunch of money, and then 6, 9, 12 months later, the executive director has to report to the board that, hey, like, we tried and it didn't work out, when really like that even should have been scrutinized more. So it's kind of it's interesting. It's a huge opportunity for nonprofits to be more comfortable digitally and have that vernacular and really feel comfortable on executing stuff, but also to sort of really make sure that they're working with the right partners that are setting the right expectations. Because this is not a short-term strategy. This is a very long-term play to build out a practice and a process and people that can support the storytelling the metrics, measurement, and ultimately the optimization of the entire business.
Hi, this is Kevin Burgess, the editor of the Nonprofit Hub Radio podcast. We'd like to thank Lasso Digital for making today's episode possible. Your nonprofit is changing lives, and you deserve top-tier support to tell the world about it. That's why Lasso Digital offers a wide variety of marketing and fundraising services, from year-end appeals and capital campaigns to advertising and social media management. No matter what your needs, they can help you find the best strategies to accomplish your nonprofit's goals. Lasso Digital is here to be your partner in expanding your impact and reaching the people who matter most. Raise more funds, share your vision, achieve your mission. Learn more at lassodigital.co. That's lassodigital.co.
The pandemic was a motivating factor, not only in your career and starting Kaleidoscope, but now seeing nonprofits having to take advantage of being in the social media space. How is it a little bit different now, outside of maybe the macroeconomics, now that in-person events are back? And how can nonprofits still leverage their social media presence with that back in the mix?
100%. So we've learned a lot over the last 3.5 years, sort of coming at the nonprofit space or the impact space with a for-profit lens. I wouldn't say like we're trying to operate like a for-profit, right, but we come with some outside perspective and have gently been invited into these spaces and asked a lot of questions and are hoping to provide value in these outside perspectives. And so we've sort of distilled this process into three particular areas. We call it social, partnership, and humanity. And so the way that we're starting to see things unfold and the way that we believe things will scale sort of post-pandemic is, how do you create these social moments online and offline? Because ultimately our lives are now completely intertwined. Yeah. If you're at an in-person event, you're also at it on your social media channels. Yes. You just are, right?
Yes.
So how do you create those social moments and make those ones that people want to be a part of? Create a little bit of FOMO. A little bit of FOMO is good. So how do you create sort of that FOMO so that maybe I missed that really great mixer or that really great, meet and greet of a local sports team that the nonprofit was able to put together? How can I want to make sure I go to the next one, right? So like creating those social moments offline, I actually believe are more important right now than creating them online, because they'll organically come online if you make them really thoughtful, offline. The other thing is you can scale those offline events with partnerships, right? And think of them the same way that we outlined before, right? Like, how do you create these tangible moments that corporations would want to be a part of? Not just slap a sponsorship sticker on a invite, an e-vite, or a newsletter or a website, but like deeply integrate, right? Because there's more skin in the game for them from a business standpoint to be a part of it, but also they'll drive a lot of impact by their integration, right?
Yeah.
And then the third thing is the human side, right? So like there are whether you're doing you're part of a mission, it could be, a pet sanctuary, or it could be clean water, whatever it is, there is some human level to what you are doing. And so making sure that you integrate and promote the humanity of that mission and that event will all tie all that together. So that way you're creating this sort of this really cool cyclical opportunity where you're doing offline events in person, they turn on to online social moments that are powered by great partnerships, and then tangibly you can see the humanity of the impact of that mission, right? And then you're just doing it over and over again. And so like that's what we've kind of created this methodology around
social
partnerships and humanity. Yeah. To do that.
Yeah, those are three solid points that I think are easy to understand. I love social moments. I definitely have FOMO, and I agree. Like anything that I do in person, I'm probably sharing on social media of some kind. And it helps you to understand your network, what causes they're invested in, things that you might not have known have ever existed. I love that. I think that hits it right on the mark. I know that, so you mentioned these three things, but I kind of wanted to know, we're talking to a bunch of nonprofit professionals right now. If you could share a couple of really important things that nonprofits should start doing right now as when it comes to digital fundraising, specifically maybe in the social media space, what would you say to them right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think the, and it's funny, this is actually really great timing for this question because Facebook or Meta just launched Threads.
Their Twitter, you're going to tell me, okay, time out. Can we talk about what Threads are?
So the underlying is that Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Meta, and Elon Musk, now the CEO of Twitter, they obviously have like a very interesting competitive nature, let's say. And so Mark Zuckerberg, smart dude, saw that there was an opportunity to create a Twitter-like social media platform with all of sort of the distrust and the issues around Twitter. And he's been somewhat silently building it, and they ultimately just launched it. So, I mean, it's going to be another platform that people will interact on like Twitter. Whether it can stay or not is yet to be seen. And I have a lot of varying opinions on both sides of the conversation. But the reason why I bring that up, because it's another platform that people are going to be thinking that they need to be on, or nonprofits need to have a voice on. Ultimately, the number one thing I always say is pick one, focus, and build a community there.
Yeah, plan and prioritize.
Plan and prioritize. It is so easy to have people tell you, oh, well, you need to be on TikTok now, and you need to have a Twitter, you need to be on Facebook, and you need to be on... Sure, ultimately, if you have the bandwidth and the resources and the time to develop particular voices and a strategy for each platform, which you need to do to be successful, then do that. But most organizations, for-profit and nonprofit, do not have the bandwidth and the resources to be everywhere all the time.
Right. So, and to your point, the whole purpose of your platform is to measure the effectiveness of that. So if you're not even looking at it, if it's effective or worth your time, then what's the point?
100%. And look, if you don't have the energy to build community on one platform, then how can you do it across six?
Yeah.
So the name of the game, right, is you're telling your story, you're building community around that story, and ultimately community and story equal impact. So focus on one platform, prioritize, like you said, and just build conversation and community there, and continue to do that consistently with high quality content, with candid insight and content around your mission and who you serve, and kind of rinse and repeat. And growth on social media is not an overnight thing, unless all of a sudden you've done some crazy dance or some really cool, you know, trick with a water bottle and a basketball hoop. You're not going to go viral overnight. You're not going to have a million followers in a week. It's a slow grind, but I promise you that's how you build long-lasting, engaged community, which ultimately is what all of us are trying to do in all of our personal and professional missions.
Yeah, of course. What about some of your specialty in the influencer marketing space?
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, I just to provide context, I mean, I have been in influencer marketing probably pretty close to the beginning. I think influencer marketing technically is probably around 9 to 10 years old if you kind of look at the early, so sort of YouTube influencers. I've been in influencer marketing for about 8. And so I've seen all, and globally. So like I've seen, you know, different platforms in Southeast Asia and how those interact compared to the United States and Europe. So kind of been there, seen it all. And what I will tell you is that influencer marketing is not as easy as finding somebody with a million followers, giving them a product and having them promote it. Maybe that in the early days, it was acceptable and potentially profitable to give a Kim Kardashian your product and have her promote it. But that's no longer the case. And so influencer marketing has now become a very profitable, very successful form of marketing, but it requires much more strategy and really thoughtful execution than just finding somebody who has a large following to promote it for you. And so I always say, like, let's focus on value and vision alignment. Let's find people who are truly aligned and authentically into what you're doing. Let's not focus on followers, but much more around engagement and our people actually liking, sharing, and meaningfully, like creating meaningful thought-provoking comments.
Yeah, and is it the right followers?
Right, is it the right followers, right? Not all followers are created equal, and not all audiences are created equal. So, you know, I think that influencer marketing, arguably, and I'm super biased, I'll caveat that, I believe is probably the most effective means of marketing because you can use it for content and for promotion on social media. Like you can use it for ads on everything. And it also provides a really great medium for conversation, which ultimately is what we want to have happen. We want conversation to happen because that builds sort of concepts and ideas around community. And then ultimately, again, community sort of wins out. So I love influencer marketing for that reason, but it is very nuanced. If you were even from a for-profit standpoint, like if you're trying to launch a retail company or a makeup company. So if you take all that and look at the nonprofit space, it is massively nuanced and a huge opportunity, but one that requires very thoughtful planning and very thoughtful communication with an influencer in order to really achieve the goals that you're looking to achieve.
Yeah. Is influencer marketing something that you see targets a younger generation?
Yeah, 100%. So it is for sure one of the easiest ways to bridge sort of the demographic gap that we're starting to really see emerge in giving and philanthropy and in social impact, which I think is number one important. But again, influencers used to be like, okay, if I wanted to reach like 18 to 25 year olds, I would do influencer marketing all day. That is still a great way to reach that demographic or a younger core demographic. But there are now different aged influencers on all of the different platforms. I've seen grandma influencers. I've seen it's a wild space. The creator economy is a $150 billion a year business, and it's only going to get bigger. I mean, there's like 50 million creators or influencers in the world. So we're starting to see a massive diversification of audiences who consume influencer content, who influencers are themselves. No better time to work with those particular partners than now to reach a wide range of potential supporters or existing supporters.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Well, we're almost to the end of our time today, but we do always try to include a segment at the end of every episode called Good News for Nonprofits. Is there anything that you can share with our listeners today that's a little bit of good news for the sector?
I believe, again, maybe rosy-colored glasses, super biased, sort of new to the space, but I actually believe that it has never been a better time to be an impact organization. Mm-hmm. All eyes are on mission-driven impact organizations to make massive changes. Now, it's not as easy as doing it, but I believe that there are so many people that want to help from a corporate perspective, from an individual perspective, from the world. And you have all these amazing digital tools now. We won't even go down the AI rabbit hole, but there is just so much access to amazing low-cost or no-cost tools to help build community and to build impact that I honestly believe that with the right focus and the right prioritization that it is never better time to be a nonprofit. So I'm extremely excited and very bullish on this entire space, moving forward.
Yeah. And I agree. There are so many ways to learn about the digital resources available. Of course, Nonprofit Hub has a huge library of resources to get you guys started. You can literally type in free or low cost. There's probably a couple articles that list resources that are free or low cost. If you guys are looking for vendors, for companies that are good referrals for a wide range of digital platforms and learning about that, you can check out our good referrals page. Nick, how would they be able to find Kaleidoscope?
Yep. So you can email me, Nick, N-I-C-K at kaleidoscope.io, kaleidoscope.io, or our website is kaleidoscope.io. And honestly, you could actually probably search influencer marketing for nonprofits and we might even be number one or number two.
So. Amazing. that shows your specialty right there, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on, Nick. It was so nice meeting you and learning more about what you guys do.
Likewise. Thank you so much for the conversation.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you guys next week on another episode of the Nonprofit Hub Radio Podcast. Bye. Thanks for joining us for this Nonprofit Hub Radio Podcast episode. For more resources on fundraising, marketing, and all things nonprofit, be sure to check out the number one nonprofit toolbox at nonprofithub.org. We hope you'll join us next week for another episode of the Nonprofit Hub Radio Podcast.